Welcome to Hockey Whiz Talks podcast. In this episode of Infamous Contract Disputes, I feature Eric Lindros. In this podcast, I'll be starting my first of many episodes where I talk about infamous NHL contract disputes. The first one is the contract dispute between Eric Lindros and the Quebec Nordiques. Eric Lindros was hyped as a generational talent entering the NHL. He was a unicorn, a Shaquille O'Neal type player on skates, blessed with unique grade skill, but was built like Superman. There has never been a prospect quite like him. He played mean with an equal amount of skill and toughness for his mammoth 6'4" frame. The media circus surrounding Lindros in his years leading up to his 92-93 NHL debut was incredibly memorable, but imagine what it would be like in the social media era. The Quebec Nordiques had the number one pick for the 1991 draft and took Eric Lindros despite him indicating in advance that he would never play for them due to his feelings about their ownership, and that soap opera dragged out an entire year as he waited for a trade, as he played for Team Canada at the 1992 Olympics and returned to the Ottawa Generals to play for another year. But before Eric Lindros even stepped foot into the NHL, we gotta talk about what happened with Eric Lindros when he got drafted to the OHL. Eric Lindros was drafted by the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds in the 1990 OHL Priority Selection Draft. However, he chose not to report to the Greyhounds and instead expressed his desire to play for the Oshawa Generals. This led to a protracted and highly criticized contract dispute between Lindros, his family, and the Greyhounds. The Greyhounds claimed that they held his OHL rights and insisted that he report to their team. The matter eventually escalated, involving legal proceedings and negotiations. In the end, Lindros did not play for the Greyhounds, and his rights were eventually traded to the Generals. Lindros went on to have a successful junior career with the Ottawa Generals, which set the stage for his entry into the NHL. In the 1991 NHL entry draft, the Quebec Nordiques selected Eric Lindros with the first overall pick, despite him expressing adamantly that he would never play for the franchise. This led to the infamous moment where he just took the jersey and draped it over his arm. The Quebec Nordiques, who won 28 games combined in the 1989-90 and 1990-91 seasons, held the first overall selection in the draft for the third consecutive year. They had selected Matt Sundin and Owen Nolan in the previous two drafts, and also had a rising star in Joe Sakic. Lindros, however, stated before the draft that he would hold out and refuse to play for Quebec if they had drafted him. It was widely speculated that Lindros wanted to play in an English-speaking area that would present him with more endorsement opportunities. The Nordiques selected Eric Lindros despite the warnings. So Eric Lindros asked for a $3 million annual salary, which for reference was as much as Wayne Gretzky was making that year, with the hopes that Quebec would trade him. Rather than sign with Quebec, he returned to Oshawa for the 91-92 season and represented Canada in the 92 Olympics. Meanwhile, Lindros reportedly rejected a 10-year contract offer worth $50 million from the Nordiques in March of 92, although Quebec later denied making the offer. Gord Kirk, who acted as the legal counsel to Lindros during this time, led the contract negotiations, later stated about the incident, "There are all kinds of allegations of Lindros being anti-Quebec, but I know that to be absolutely false. It had more to do with the management of the team." And now a word from our sponsor. Check out my scouting blog at HockeyWiz777Scouting.com. Listen to my scouting blog podcast on podcasters.spotify.com/pod/show/HockeyWiz777Scouting. The Eric Lindros trade is one of the most infamous trades in NHL history, and perhaps one of the most influential trades for both the Quebec Nordiques, who eventually became the Colorado Avalanche, and the Philadelphia Flyers. After a year of holding out, the Quebec Nordiques finally decided to trade Eric Lindros to the Philadelphia Flyers for Peter Forsberg, Mike Ritchie, Ron Hextall, Steve Duchesne, Kerry Hoffman, future considerations, which eventually became Chris Simon, 2 first-round picks, and $15 million. This was a ton to give up for a teenager who never stepped onto the NHL ice. The Lindros affair changed the fate of three franchises and four cities. In addition to the Flyers and Nordiques, who would later become the Colorado Avalanche, the third franchise involved in that affair were the New York Rangers. They narrowly missed out on the deal that would have made him a New York Ranger. Not surprisingly, for a player as highly hyped as Erik Lindros, he was highly coveted, so the Flyers weren't the only suitor trying to covet him. Besides negotiating with Philadelphia, Marcel Aubut also negotiated a deal with the New York Rangers, and struck a deal that would have reportedly brought back Sergei Nemchinov, Tony Amonte, Alexei Kovalev, James Patrick, and either Sven Beesbrook or Mike Richter, multiple first-round picks, and $20 million, a gargantuan deal in its own right. Mass confusion followed. In fact, Russ Farewell, the Flyers' GM at the time, was already on his way to the draft after speaking with Lindros, thinking he had a deal. He later stated, "At some point, I had been told he had been traded to the New York Rangers, and then I was told Quebec traded him to the Philadelphia Flyers." So the Flyers obviously filed for a grievance with the NHL, which led to a lengthy, high-profile arbitration process. On June 30th, after a 5-day hearing in which arbitrator Larry Bertuzzi reviewed more than 400 pages of notes and called 11 witnesses, including Lindros himself, he issued an 8-page decision that sided with the Philadelphia Flyers. This decision meant that Erik Lindros would become a new member of the Philadelphia Flyers. The Erik Lindros trade changed the face of both franchises. The mammoth deal centered around the team phenom had immediate and drastic impacts on both the Flyers and the Nordiques, altering the landscape and fortunes of both clubs, who became instant contenders. The trade's after effects were strongly felt for more than a decade. Lindros came to Philadelphia and had no trouble translating his junior success into steady production in the NHL. Lindros, who had tallied 216 points in just 95 OHL games, put up 41 goals, 34 assists for 75 points in his rookie year in the NHL. By the 93-94 season, Lindros fell 3 points shy of triple digits, scoring 44 goals, and also racked up more than 100 penalty minutes each year, living up to his reputation as not just a devastating sniper and prolific playmaker, but a bruising player as well. The Flyers finished under 500 in Lindros' first two seasons and did not qualify for the playoffs. However, it wouldn't be long before Lindros would turn the Philadelphia Flyers into a perennial contender and becoming a Flyers legend in the process. Erik Lindros was named the captain of the Philadelphia Flyers in the 1994-95 season and continued to establish himself as one of the best players in the league, winning the Hart Trophy in 1995 and helping lead the Flyers to their first ever playoff berth in 6 seasons, and helped lead the Flyers to their first playoff berth in 6 seasons. Between 95 and 97, he played alongside Michael Renberg and John LeClair, a line dubbed the Legion of Doom, a reference to the three forwards' ability to not only score in bunches, but also dominate physically. The Legion of Doom racked up 666 points in 3 seasons together. After a career-best 115 points in the 95-96 season, his point total dipped to 79 in the 96-97 season, but did lead the Flyers to the Stanley Cup Finals, where he had 26 points that playoff run. Unfortunately, it was not enough to lead the Flyers past the powerhouse Detroit Red Wings. Erik Lindros' impact on the Philadelphia Flyers cannot be overstated. He revitalized that franchise. He played in 486 games for the Flyers, tallying 290 goals and 369 assists for 659 points. As quickly as the Flyers' fortunes were changing thanks to Lindros' presence, the Nordiques were also reaping the rewards of this trade. The Nordiques were a laughingstock prior to the Lindros trade. They had finished last in the Adams division for 5 straight seasons and had just 48 wins in the past 3 years combined. Their woes, however, allowed them to build a team full of young guns using high draft picks. Besides Matt Sundin, Owen Nolan, and Joe Sakic, who were already on the team prior to the Lindros trade, Steve Duchene and Mike Ritchie, who were brought in the Lindros trade, tallied 82 and 78 points respectively, and Ron Hextall, who was still in the tail end of his prime, bolstered the young stars. They helped facilitate a powerful and sudden transformation into a highly competitive hockey club. The Nordiques finished second in the Adams that year with a 47-27-10 record and scored 351 goals, nearly 100 more than the year before. The Nordiques took a step back in 93-94, failing to qualify for the postseason. By then, some pieces of the trade had moved on and they had used their draft picks. They had selected Jocelyn Thibault with the 10th overall pick in 93 and traded away the other. They also sent Ron Hextall to the New York Islanders after a single season in exchange for Mark Fitzpatrick and a first round pick, which they used to select Adam Deadmarsh 4 picks after Jocelyn Thibault. But perhaps the biggest part of the trade for the Quebec Nordiques was eventual Hall of Famer Peter Forsberg. Peter Forsberg, who never actually played for the Quebec Nordiques, was a massive part of the Colorado Avalanche, became an instrumental part of the core when they moved to Colorado, and alongside Joe Sakic and Patrick Waugh, who they acquired in 96 from Montreal, became part of the Colorado Avalanche dynasty in the late to early 2000s. Although the Quebec Nordiques did not win the Stanley Cup, the fingerprints of the players involved in the Eric Lindros trade are all over the 1996 Stanley Cup Colorado Avalanche Championship team. Peter Forsberg, Adam Deadmarsh, and Mike Ritchie all played a key role on that team, as did superstar goalie Patrick Waugh, who the Avalanche were able to acquire from the Montreal Canadiens in a package centered around Jocelyn Thibault. Speaking of Peter Forsberg, he went on to become one of the best Avalanche of all time, as the Swede tallied 741 points over 9 seasons with the team, posting 6 campaigns with 80 plus points and never having a negative plus minus rating. Essentially, the Eric Lindros trade helped jumpstart the Colorado Avalanche dynasty. Check out my hockey blog at hockeywiztalkshockey.blogspot.com. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram at hockeywiz777. The true winners of the trade are the Colorado Avalanche because the Quebec Nordiques relocated 3 years after the Eric Lindros trade, all while Eric Lindros is the NHL's most valuable player. The true winner of the trade are the Colorado Avalanche because they really got to reap the rewards of that Eric Lindros trade, because not only did they get Peter Forsberg, the package centered around Jocelyn Thibault, they traded for Patrick Waugh, and as we all know, Sakic, Forsberg, and Waugh were the 3 pillars of that Avalanche dynasty. Although it was a rough process to get Eric Lindros to Philadelphia, he was a dominant force on the ice and was considered one of the most talented players of his generation. From 1992 to 2000, he was undoubtedly one of the top 5 players in the entire league, and in that time span, he was a 7-time All-Star, won the 1995 Hart Trophy as NHL MVP, and won the 1995 Hart Trophy as the NHL's most valuable player. After a series of concussions, which limited his playing time and effectiveness, Eric Lindros was traded to the New York Rangers, putting an end to his tenure with the Philadelphia Flyers. After leaving Philly, Lindros was a shell of himself and was never quite the dominant player he used to be. In my next podcast, I talk about the infamous contract dispute with Pavel Bure and the Vancouver Canucks.